Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Reese, my dear man, what the fuck are we talking about today?
We are talking about a kick-ass Canadian mayor who saved potentially hundreds of thousands of lives.
Wow.
And then
okay.
And then they loved her so much, they made her the mayor for the rest of her life.
That's amazing. All right, you told me this was going to be a banger episode. This
is a good one.
Sounds pretty good to me. All right.
Let's do it.
I'm going to stroll a little faster.
Let's do it.
Yay.
Just climb down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese Waters, and with me is the Italian adventurer Jesse Harley.
Buongiorno.
How are you, Jesse?
Actually, it's nighttime here, so it's buonasera.
Okay. How is nighttime in Palermo?
Nice. It's busy. It's noisy. It's dirty. It's
busy, noisy, dirty. You're here first. Visit Italy.
It's like the new Daft Punk album. Busy, noisy, dirty.
Busy, noisy, dirty.
Yeah.
Have you got some kind of chrome helmet you can wear?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I did see a sushi restaurant with some really bad English, as they call it. Hold on. You just have to constantly avoid traffic here. Nobody slows down. Everyone just like, it's like a constant nonstop game of Frogger in the city.
Are you recording this episode while walking around a small, busy Italian city?
Yes. Thanks. Okay. Actually, I'm trying to find quiet alleyways, which
okay, so hopefully you get while we record. That'd be a first for podcasting.
So I wanted to tell you about the sushi restaurant I saw.
Okay.
With some like a really badly translated related motto. It underneath it said my sushi in your sushi.
My sushi and your sushi.
What the fuck does that mean?
Sounds sexy.
My sushi and your sushi. And they were so confident with this translation, they put it on their sign in permanent letters.
My sushi.
Like, just, no, let's not check this.
So if your first date is my sushi and your sushi, then, I mean, that sounds more like third date activity. You're going to rub your sushis together.
Hi, I'm going to have the California roll. He'll have the tempura roll. And I'd like his sushi inside of my sushi. Thanks. Again, it just sounds, can you do that for me? Oh, you can. Oh, good.
It just sounds dirty.
Put your sushi in my sushi.
Put your sushi. A good song. A good just, like, pop song. The innuendo-laden
What's
number
up
one
you?
Hit. In your Put your sushi in my sushi. Anyway.
I'll send you the photo. It's good.
So do you want to do a content? Do you want to learn a thing?
Well, tell me about you, motherfucker.
Oh, me?
It's not just about me.
Oh, God, what have I been doing? It's been so cold here. It was minus 20 with the wind at one point, and we had a ton of snow.
Sorry for the noise. Motorcycles everywhere.
It's just a Vespa.
Constant traffic.
So
it was negative 20?
Yes, and I took Rosie out for a walk, and her pants on her feet froze. Because I was like, I'm not going to go outside. It's too cold for her. And she won't wear boots. She just shivers and freaks out if you put anything on her other than a collar. And it's like a nervous breakdown. So I took her out quickly, came back in, and her pads were frozen. And it was like a hard tapping noise on the floor as we walked in.
Oh, that's really sad.
So she's very quickly going out to the toilet, pissing in 4 foot snow deep, which means she's, you know, it's not very nice. And then running back in again. So that's my life.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But she's all right.
Poor Rosie.
She's fine. Also, her sister had puppies. So if anyone wants a dog like Rosie, let me know.
I don't. But dear listener, just contact us and you might get a free puppy.
It's not a free puppy.
There's a bribe we've never used before.
I'll put in touch with the people who own the puppies.
Yeah. Give us a good review and we'll give you a fucking puppy.
I'll mail it out to you.
Just put holes in the box.
Exactly. So anyway,
all right, teach me about this mayor. I want to know about this mayor.
Okay, cool. Okay, so
you said it was a banging episode. I'm all excited.
Hazel McCallion, have you ever heard of it?
Hazel, am I being quizzed at the end of this episode too?
You will be. Hazel McCallion.
Hazel McCallion. All right.
Maybe it's McCallion. I don't know. Maybe that's the pronunciation. I don't know. But anyway, she was born. She was born Hazel Jeannot on February the 14th, 1921, in Port Daniel on the coast of Quebec. So she was born in the 20s. She graduated from Quebec High School, and then she attended business secretarial school in Quebec City of Montreal.
This is a lot of fast-flying trivia that I'm afraid I'm not going to remember.
Good. But she one of her first loves was hockey. So she started playing hockey in the 1920s with her two sisters and was a forward on her team. And then she became a professional women's hockey player in the 1920s.
That's fucking awesome.
And was getting paid $5 a game. Because the team was sponsored by a company called Kick Cola that I don't think exists anymore.
I think I've heard of it though, but
Kick Cola.
All right. $5. Now this is the 1920s, so $5 a game might actually have been a significant amount of money. I don't know.
It's like $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
She could probably have a meal and like pay her rent for a week.
And then invest the other $900,000. Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
despite her fledgling professional women's hockey career, she wanted to go to university, but her and her family couldn't afford it. So she took a job at an engineering firm instead. But
okay, so she's quit her illustrious job as a professional hockey player to become an engineer.
Yeah, well, she didn't become an engineer. She went to an engineering firm to work. So she would have been like kind of more admin in the engineering firm.
$5.
She was denied further education due to it.
So the $1 million that she was getting paid every
she wasn't. I mean, yeah,
wasn't enough.
Amazing. The $5 she earned per game wasn't enough to finance her life and university. But
hold on, I'm checking something. Hold on, wait.
What are you checking? You're going to get mugged in an alley. Hang on.
I mean, I was just asked if I wanted drugs, so like it's very possible.
What did you say?
He looked at me. He's like, called me over. He's like, hey, you want anything? want anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. It's very common.
Next time that happens, just go, can I just have a hug for now? Maybe I'll see you later.
Can I have a hug? Do you have a slinky? Yeah, he's like, I haven't played with a slinky.
Really fancy a Rubik's Cube right now. He's like,
oh my God, can you imagine he just opens his coat and produces a Rubik's Cube? I'd have to buy it.
What you want to do is try one of these new Sudoku puzzles. Apparently all the kids are using them.
Okay, hold on. $5.
Just buying drugs.
Canadian.
He's just buying some
in
drugs.
In 1920.
$5.
All right, here we go. That is not a lot of money. That's $100 a game.
There we go.
In today's money.
So yeah, we overestimated with a million.
To Ted.
Well, this isn't an economics podcast, and neither of us are claiming
Thank
to be.
Thank God, yeah.
Thank God. But anyway, so McCallion, Hazel, she was desperate to have a career in politics. So she was at this stage, she would have been in her early 40s. She was a relatively young woman to be entering politics. So she ran for the position of a deputy reeve, which basically means deputy mayor of Streetsville, which is now part of Mississauga in Ontario.
Is it actually called Streetsville?
It's called Streetsville, which is a great name. What should we call this town? Well, there is. It's got streets. Streetsville, perfect. House town. Human land. Grass field.
I want to live in. Let's please start a town and call it Human Land. Human land.
Canada's least imaginative town. But anyway, this was 1964, and she apparently was unsuccessful, and she later considered herself to be the victim of dirty tricks. However, she was elected to be the Streetsville mayor 6 years later in 1970. And then she served for 3 years until 1973, and then they merged Mississauga and a bunch of the other towns together. They merged everything together to create Mississauga instead. So all those little towns like Streetsville became part of the city.
And Streetsville and Human Land?
Streetsville, okay. Human Land, Grassfield, House Town.
Shoe Town.
All of them. Shoe Town. Yeah. People are wearing shoes. Let's call it Shoe Town.
wait, that kid's not out. Yeah. Get the hell out of the city.
Hattiesburg.
You don't belong there. Right next to Shoe Town.
Yeah, exactly.
Just have a fucking grand old time.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. So this
who
is all
wants to go for a
to
swim
become...
in River Lake.
River Lake Pond puddle.
Exactly. There we go.
River Lake Pond, yeah.
Streetsville merged with Mississauga, and then she then won election as mayor in 1978. By cool. just 3,000 votes, she beat a very popular other incumbent mayor. And the Toronto Star reported that plain talk in Mississauga wins Hazel the mayor's job. So she was known for being a born in the 20s, plain talking kind of gal.
I gotta say, Reese, this isn't a cracking episode so far. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice story.
Just wait. Just wait. Right. I was literally just getting to
this would be a good time for a commercial.
I was just getting to the bit where the text is bold and four times the size underneath.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thank you. So she'd been in she'd been mayor of Mississauga for only a few months. And then, okay. Have you ever heard of the 1979 Mississauga train derailment?
No.
So what happened was, this is insane.
I can take a guess.
Well, in 1979, there was a train derailment in Mississauga.
Yeah.
Like, the clue is in the
God. Okay.
So, so a CP freight train carrying hazardous chemicals basically derailed and caught fire. So the train consisted of 106 cars that carried multiple chemicals and explosives, including styrene, toluene, propane, caustic soda, and chlorine. So we're basically
Jesus.
106 cars full of like the nastiest stuff you can imagine. And what happened was, on the 33rd car of the 106 cars, heat began to build up on an improperly lubricated journal bearing on one of the wheels. Don't know what that is. If you're in train engineering, okay. I imagine you're having a good time. resulting in a condition known amongst train workers as hot box.
Okay.
Yeah. So, ever met a train dirty, worker with sure. a hot box, Jesse?
Probably a few, yeah. Honestly. I don't talk to train workers for that reason.
But next time you do, if you do, Bubba, you want
they have
ask,
crazy
ask
eyes.
Them about their hot box. Oh my!
I don't think
actually,
I want
my
to,
neighbor no. is a safety inspector. I'm going to bump into walking dogs. I'm going to ask him about his hot box.
Do you have a hot box? Yeah. Can I touch your hot box? Tell me more about your hot box.
So somebody does listen to this podcast sometimes. So go. I won't say his name. In
case what?
I won't say his name in case he doesn't want to be mentioned. But hi neighbor. Well,
you know a train conductor with a hot box?
No, he's in charge of like safety. He's like a train safety dude
of the trains.
Yeah,
and he has a hot box.
No, I don't imagine he does. He probably wants to avoid one because that's what caused this derailment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Reese's friend who is in charge of safety for trains.
Keep us
it
safe.
It is nice to know her, you, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Residents living beside the tracks reported seeing smoke and sparks coming from car 33. And they thought the train was on fire. The friction eventually burned through the axle. And as the train was passing a level crossing in the city, the entire axle and pair of wheels fell off completely. causing an impact, and several tank cars filled with propane instantly burst into flames.
Oh my God.
Other tankers were ruptured, and then a huge explosion happened, sending a fireball 1,500 meters into the sky, which could be seen from 100 kilometers away.
That's amazing.
And then the train's brakeman, a guy named Larry Krupa, who was 27, basically put himself in danger to release an air brake that meant they could move some of the carriages away from the exploding carriages. And
decouple yeah, some of the train.
Do okay, some train right, yeah. engineering stuff to basically, hey, maybe we should move those other unexploded tankers away from the ones that are currently
now
exploding.
why is this a dangerous thing for him to do?
Well, because everything's exploding around him.
All right, that's fair.
And he was recommended for the Order of Canada for his bravery afterwards, and it was later described,
what's his name,
Larry Krupa. He was 27 at the time. Right. But
wow. Did he have to like climb out like Indiana Jones and like straddle two cars and like bend over and like haul up this big steel post to uncouple the trains, and then he had to leap from the one car back to the car with the engine and grab hold and
no.
All the while.
Maybe. But right. his act of bravery was described as bordering on lunacy. So
that's fucking awesome.
Pretty cool. So after more,
what's his name? One more time. What's his name? One more time.
Larry Krupa.
Larry Krupa.
Yeah.
All right.
So after explosions, the firefighters tried to like cool things down. And there was a ruptured chlorine tank they were worried about, because basically a deadly cloud of chlorine gas could kind of suddenly cover the whole area of Mississauga. So it was decided right. that they had to evacuate rapidly 200,000 people. So it would
Holy
be
shit.
It would be the largest peacetime evacuation in North American history. until New Orleans was evacuated because of Hurricane Katrina in 2005.
Amazing. 200,000 people were evacuated.
So this came down, this was Hazel's job, working with the Peel Regional Police. They were like, hey, you're the mayor, and these are the police. You need to rapidly evacuate 200,000 people. So they basically just improvised because no one had any plans for how you do that.
That's weird, though. I was just thinking that. Like, isn't that just part of being in a municipality? Like, how do I put this? Like, wouldn't you have plans like this already long, long, long in place?
They do now, but in the 70s, you know, it was only when terrible things happened they came up with these plans. So,
right, that's fair.
So she kind of spearheaded it. And she actually got injured. She sprained her ankle, but she continued to hobble back and forth to different press conferences and meetings until the whole thing was done.
Do you know how she sprained her ankle?
No. But it was quite early on during the crisis.
I have a request.
Right.
Just to amp this up a little bit. Can you put a little bit of danger music?
Right.
To this, and just improvise like a 30-second story of how she sprained her ankle while trying to evacuate 200,000 people.
Okay. Hazel ran to the level crossings in the town. She saw the child with a balloon. Little did the child know that despite the flaming train was less than 5 feet behind them, the sound of propane gas was leaking. It was going to explode. Hazel used all her strength, might, and human speed to sprint across and save the child. But as she leapt, the tanker exploded. Shielding the child, she did a 180. And landed awkwardly on her ankle, twisting it. The child was fine. She was fine. I'm too old for this shit, she muttered under her breath, quietly enough that the child wouldn't hear the profanity. Delivering the child back to the neglectful mother who wasn't paying attention to the child stood in front of the burning train, Hazel went back to another press conference with CBC to tell them to fuck off and let her get on with her job. How was that?
That was fucking amazing.
Cool.
I'm going to get you to do these stories a lot more often, man. You're really good at them.
Hazel's badass. So...
I thought you were going to say that she turned around and sprained her ankle, and when she turned around she saw that the kid was evaporated, like it was just eviscerated by like a huge fireball from the...
That's really dark. That's,
well, no. Okay. Yes.
You don't spray if you can sprain an ankle, you've got to at least save a life.
Right.
Anyway, so there were no deaths or serious injuries during this week-long evacuation and emergency, and it became world famous for an unbelievable successful evacuation.
Why was it a week long? Like, wouldn't they need to get them out of there? Like,
it took them a week to put all the fires out and make it safe.
Sure, okay, so that makes sense. But why would it take a week to evacuate everybody?
No, they evacuated and they were all evacuated for a week. Sorry, they were all like they all had to stay. The whole city was like Walking Dead, like totally deserted for a whole week.
That's amazing.
So because of the speed and efficiency, like she...
Do you have any details about how she improvised the evacuation plan?
No, I couldn't find it, but people should look into that for themselves. That's my advice. I'm sure there's a book somewhere. people did study it afterwards, and other cities have modeled their own emergency plans after this moment.
No way. And you don't know what she did. That's so disappointing.
No, I'm not a civil emergency planner. My dad used to do it. I'm not a civil emergency planner. I'm just the son of one. I don't know.
Is that true?
I got out of the family business.
Is that true about your dad?
My dad used to do emergency and disaster planning for civil government.
That's fucking cool. It's really cool.
You used to have to go and train on military bases on like how to evacuate.
So Hazel did such a good job with her improvised evacuation plan that other cities started copying what she did and putting it in their own contingency plans. That's amazing.
So like say you're in Palermo, there's an emergency, the phone rings, they answer the mayor, they go, "Mayor, we need to evacuate Palermo, there's something terrible is going to happen." So one of his assistants runs over, kicks him in the ankle, and then they follow the rest of the plan.
Yes, I imagine that's exactly what the plan states. Yeah.
You do exactly as I did. Like,
we need to find a child with a balloon.
Exactly. Tell the CBC to fuck off. They're not here. So anyway.
So they really look forward to that part.
So
yeah.
What happened? Yeah. So Hazel then just became a legend and was easily reelected as mayor for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I can kind of see why, right?
So this was 1979. Like,
did they continue to have more elections, or was just like one election, like you've got it for life if you want it?
No, this is North Korea. She did have to run for re-election. So, dear leader for life of Mississauga.
Thank you so much for clarifying that Mississauga was not North Korea. That was
Canada's North Korea. That's what they call it.
That's what we're going to call the episode. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. North Korea. So she was still receiving more than 90% of the votes in 20 years later, in 1997,
wow, 2000,
and 2003. She never bothered to campaign. She refused to accept political donations and instead said, "Hey, if you want to donate money to my political campaign, give it to charity instead."
Aww.
And she still won 90% of the vote. And on her 90th birthday in 2011, which was her, she was assessed by Dr. Barbara Clive, a geriatricist, who stated that at 90, her gait is perfect, her speech is totally sharp, and she has the drive to still run this city. She's the poster child for seniors.
Amazing.
So she
what's her secret?
Announced in, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it was the chemicals in the train.
She's going to live to 175.
Yeah. So she announced during her final term she would not be running for re-election in 2014. Which is crazy. So sadly, she died from pancreatic cancer at home in 2023 at the age of 101.
No way.
Which is amazing.
That is amazing.
So she had a state funeral on her 102nd birthday. Justin Trudeau, Jean Chantal, and Doug Ford all turned up to her funeral.
Oh, wow.
And in Ontario, all flags were flown at half mast on the day of her funeral.
Wow.
So there we go.
Wow.
Did you expect that?
No, I did not. That was a hell of a story. Where did you dig that up? That was incredible.
Don't know. It was just in my notes. It was on my to-do pile for episodes.
That was amazing.
I was like, oh, let's do this one.
That was amazing.
Yeah. If I'm going to distract Jesse from Italy, I'm going to have to find a good one.
Let's do some admin for the show. But after admin, we'll be doing a quiz. Yeah? Sound good?
Yay. Quiz time. Well, okay, what's the admin?
Yeah, a little
show?
Bit more.
canadianpolicsisboring.com/... No,
what?
Patreon. Patreon.com/CanadianPoliticsisBoring if you want to support.
You're really good at this.
If you don't have any money, because times are hard, everything's expensive.
That's true.
And pay hasn't gone up, then just give us a nice review for free.
We'd like that, actually.
Yeah. Jesse's promised you free puppy.
I mean, yep, yes, there it is. You're it for me, folks.
Mailed to you in an airtight envelope.
Jesus Christ, don't send people dead puppies, Reese. That's not okay. Fucking hell.
They were dead when I put them in there.
Them? How many of these puppies are you stuffing in a tight airtight envelope?
Please don't mail puppies. This is a health and safety request. Please don't mail puppies.
Coming up soon. If Reese ever gets off his ass to actually do it, we're going to have, because I know like signing up for Patreon, putting in your details and all this stuff is a big pain in the ass, but if you'd still like to support us and listen to hundreds, I don't know about hundreds, a lot of like amazing, like fucking incredible additional content on Apple Podcasts, we will be introducing the subscription button, which is just a click to support and listen to. If you're bored and you're on a road trip, you want an extra 100 or 200 episodes, whatever, that's how you do it. Easy peasy.
Yeah,
that's coming. Yeah. That's coming as soon as Reese gets up his ass to do it.
Yay. At some point. Jesse, let's do a quick quiz.
All right.
I'm doing it. Sorry. Yeah. I was waiting for you to ask me a question.
What's the capital of Cambodia?
What was the name of the company that sponsored Hazel's team? What was the drinks company called?
It was a cola company. Like Tick or something.
Oh, I'll give you half a point. Kick Cola.
Kick Cola. Okay. Half a point. I'll take it.
Kick Cola.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Buzz
is real.
Can we put
full of cocaine.
Can we put some like fun quiz music over this? I think this segment needs a little bit of fun quiz music.
If I have time.
Okay.
What year?
Yes.
And I nearly gave this away. What year was the Mississauga train derailment?
1979.
I nearly said, what year was the 1979 Mississauga train? Once again, the clue was in there. What percent of the vote did Hazel get in 1997, 2000, and 2003? Hello? Oh, that's weird. I guess I just lost Jesse. The answer was 90%, if you paid attention at home. It was just me. Never done this before. Well, we have sometimes, I guess. This is Reese. That was Jesse in Italy. I'm assuming he didn't get killed by getting hit by a Fiat. So I'm going to sign off. So we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com for all the socials and everything else. And we'll see you soon.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.